honor of presenting to you now the President Emeritus of Bryn Mawr College, Miss M. Carey Thomas. It was 50 years ago when Bryn Mawr, the pioneer, began her adventure in women's education. No woman under 70 can realize how changed is the woman's world we are living in today. As a girl in Baltimore, I had only once seen a woman who had been to college. When I came back from Cornell, the sons of my mother's friends refused to be introduced to me. I was allowed to attend a Greek seminary in Johns Hopkins University, but I had to sit behind the curtain. When I went abroad to study in Leipzig, my mother told me that if I had eloped with the coachman, her friends could not have sympathized with her more deeply. I returned after 4 years' study in Leipzig, Zurich, and Paris with a doctor's degree, caring more than anything else in the world for proof that women were intellectually equal to men. By some happy chance, almost at once, I was appointed to help in organizing the new College of Bryn Mawr. Began in 1885 with a brilliant faculty of young women and men scholars, all with Ph.D. degrees, all under 30, all unmarried, but so admirably trained in modern methods of research that Bryn Mawr was able to open the second purely graduate school in the United States, with eagerly competed for graduate fellowships in all main departments of study, as well as resident fellowships for 8 foreign women scholars. Bryn Mawr, the alumni, the Bryn Mawr, the pioneer, so young herself, so unknown to fame, attracted to her empty campus by her difficult entrance examinations, harder than those of any other college, and by her competitive graduate scholarship, a matchless group of ambitious students. Those early years when we were all young together, professors and students, so incredibly eager to teach, so incredibly eager to learn, were like a heavenly vision of what every college might be. When the reading room and laboratories of our one college building were overcrowded, our early students sat on the stairs to read their notes and examine their chloroformed frogs. When no lecture rooms were vacant, professors and students read Horace sitting on the graves of a neighboring cemetery or solved mathematical problems under a tree. The 13 life trustees appointed by the founder of the college, all men, had set out to produce a well-behaved fowl resembling those already living in neighboring barnyards, but found that they had hatched a soaring eagle instead. After a few anxious years watching their eagle winging her flight through the blue, they came to love and admire her and call to their aid as alumni trustees on their board of control, successive broods of devoted young eaglets, and all has been well. Bryn Mawr's graduate and undergraduate students have been from the first pure joy. Dr. S. Weir Mitchell, then the great medical authority in Philadelphia, told all parents with daughters that no girl could graduate from Bryn Mawr without becoming a permanent invalid. President Eliot of Harvard gave us 2 years in which to close the college if we persisted in letting our students govern themselves. President Celia Smith predicted the same fate if we continued to let unmarried men professors teach young girls. And President Gilman of Johns Hopkins, with his glorious faculty of scholars, begged us not to expect our women professors and students to meet the same standards as men. He said that women's intuition made strenuous training unnecessary. The splendid body of doctors of philosophy and bachelors of art, with their achievements in almost every field of human endeavor in the United States today, is Bryn Mawr's reply. In days like these of upheaval, which threaten all the advances of civilization, the brunt of the attack will inevitably be on the higher education and skill training of women, because they have been the last to be won. In Germany and Italy, all women are being deprived of domestic work, are being deprived of paid work, and worst of all, of higher education. The cost to civilization and progress is too great. Those of us who remember well the closed doors of 50 years ago entreat you, of you of the younger generation, both young women and young men, to see to it that the next 50 years are years not of going backward, but years of progress, even greater than the past 50 years.
Thank you so much, Miss Thomas. I'm sure we've all welcomed this opportunity to hear M. Carey Thomas, President Emeritus of Bryn Mawr College, speak of the college and of her life before she went to the college. As you know, the college was under her leadership for the first 37 years of its existence.